This podcast will be on Achilles tendon rupture and Achilles tendinopathy. This is a relatively common condition. You definitely should be aware of it. A rupture of the Achilles tendon is something that can be missed in up to 20-25% of cases. It is something that is typically seen in men, usually around age 30 to 40, the weekend warrior, sort of the classic type of patient who will get it. It's also been implicated as having an increased incidence associated with fluoroquinolone antibiotics. You may have heard of this in your second year classes. And typically what happens is the classic history of an Achilles tendon rupture is a person was suddenly sprinting, maybe playing basketball, or trying to sprint out of the batter's box playing baseball, something along those lines where you go from a stop to, all-out sprint, and they feel and hear a pop. And I can't tell you how many patients tell me that they thought they got shot in the back of the ankle. That's a very, very common history that you would get. And what happens is you literally have sort of a rupture. It pops. It's not a very clean tear. It's sort of almost like a little explosion of the Achilles tendon in the distal part of the Achilles, usually somewhat close to the insertion, although it's almost never an avulsion. And what happens is the patient will have pain, soreness, tenderness, and they may be able to walk, they may not be able to. And it's something that they may still have some degree of active plantar flexion, which is why sometimes this can be missed. Okay, you still have other muscles, posterior tibial tendon, plantaris, there's some long flexors of the toes that can cause a little bit of plantar flexion across the ankle. So let's talk about some of the anatomy just to step back for a second. I mean, the Achilles tendon is the largest tendon in your body. It's formed by the soleus and gastrocnemius muscles. So it's sort of a common tendon that comes from those muscle bellies. History is kind of as I explained it, the pop, difficulty walking, physical exam, as I said, is going to be swelling, maybe a palpable gap if you're able to examine them enough in the posterior part of the ankle and lower leg. And there is a very important provocative test you should be aware of, which is called the Thompson test. Okay, and a Thompson test, you should look this up, but what it involves is having the patient typically lay prone and you squeeze the calf, all right, now well above the ankle. You squeeze the calf in the upper leg and you see if the foot will plantar flex or not. Okay, and you compare this to the other side. And you do all your examination comparing to the other side. That's a very important principle in orthopedic examination in general. And if the foot does not plantar flex, then oftentimes that's because there's a Achilles tendon rupture. Okay, and if you put two and two together and everything points towards it, you often don't necessarily need to have any additional testing done. Radiographs are not as helpful, except if you have extreme pain at the insertion, because you can get bony avulsions, actually, and if they're very large bony avulsion, they can actually tent the skin and cause skin compromise. But usually MRI is not as necessary unless you have concern that it's maybe a small partial tear and you want to to distinguish that, but a all-out complete tear usually has a very classic history and physical exam finding. Now, treatment is a little controversial. So these can be successfully treated with non-operative management, but they can also be treated with operative management. And I'm not going to get too much into the nuances, and there's current literature on this that's helping guide treatment for many of us. But one thing we often will tell patients is that that these can heal with non-surgical treatment. However, with a surgical repair, they may have a stronger outcome, that is with gastroc soleus function, and perhaps a less risk for re-rupture. But a lot of current literature is now showing with even in athletes and healthy patients that non-surgical treatment and early rehabilitation can do reasonably well. One of the big things you need to be aware of is that surgical management does have a risk for wound complications. Now, in the posterior part of the distal ankle distal leg and ankle, the blood supply is somewhat diminished. Healing can be difficult. The tendon repair often creates these large sutures and knots below the skin. So it's a kind of a setup for having wound breakdown, wound complications, and sometimes these can be very serious. So that is something you should be aware of if you're seeing a patient getting counseled for surgery. And if we treated non-surgically, and certainly when you initially see these, they're not surgical emergencies by any means, except if you have that bone avulsion that's tenting the skin. But a tendinous Achilles tendon rupture typically will be splinted. Oftentimes we splint in the position of gravity equinus, so we don't bring them up to the 90-degree position. And often with non-surgical management, if you continue along that line, then you slowly bring them up to neutral, then you eventually have them weight-bearing, and then eventually you have them weight-bearing without their boot or whatever device they're using to keep the foot and ankle immobilized. So that's the typical treatment course for these. Now, you can also have Achilles tendonitis or tendinosis without outright rupture. So oftentimes a rupture is an acute rupture. They didn't necessarily have any symptoms before that. But there will be patients that come in with Achilles tendonitis and ankle pain. This is due to, if it's Achilles tendonitis, there's like tendon thickening at the insertion of the Achilles tendon. This is something that often presents as a posterior heel pain. They have this gradual enlargement at the back of the heel. On radiographs, you may actually see some bone spurs at the insertion of the Achilles tendon, especially on a lateral x-ray of the heel. And histologically, what's going on is there's sort of this disorganized collagen with mucoid degeneration, and it's basically an abnormal tendon. It's a tendon which is inflamed and abnormal, as is seen in other tendinosis conditions. So these are things that we often can treat non-surgically. I forgot to mention, MRI findings can sometimes demonstrate interstitial tears or perhaps small amounts of degeneration without outright separation and rupture. Now, treatment. So non-operative treatment, certainly activity modification, short period of immobilization, shoe wear modification, maybe a small heel lift can help. We usually try to avoid steroid injections because they can sometimes create a risk for Achilles tendon rupture. If these don't work, then occasionally surgical treatment has to be done. And remember, it's a diseased abnormal tendon. The tendon tissue is abnormal, and that is the source of much of the pain. So surgical treatment actually includes often resection or debridement of the diseased tendon. And sometimes you have to literally take it off the calcaneus in order to get rid of the diseased tendon. And then you reinsert it or reinsert the healthy tendon. Sometimes it requires you to augment the tendon with a tendon transfer, that is taking another tendon to help the Achilles tendon out, like the flexor digitorum longus. And that's generally the mainstay of treatment for this when non-surgical treatment fails. So distinguish Achilles tendonitis from Achilles tendon rupture. Make sure you're aware of Achilles tendon ruptures, how they occur, what the history is, and how to pick up on them. And I think that about does it for this. Thanks for your attention.